Hello, everyone, and welcome in to another edition of the Super Serious Sports Show, a presentation of CentralCityRadio.com. Jeff Rich and Jen Rich in the Phoenix studios. And what a glorious day it is here in the Valley of the Suns. If you take that local interest, and actually, I did not mean to pluralize it there, but Freudian slip of the tongue. The Suns are the talk of the town right now, the number two seed in the Western Conference, taking on the Los Angeles Lakers, the hated Los Angeles Lakers from that hated Los Angeles market. And good for the Suns to set the tone in game one, 99-90. Devin Booker, in his first playoff game, steps up big, and they needed him because Chris Paul kind of got banged up. Kind of tried to come back and then had to go back in and get fixed up a little bit more. Comes back again. And, his presence, I understand that Chris Paul's presence is important. But at the end of the day, getting the W over LeBron James and company, you hate to see it, don't you, Jen?
Absolutely.
It was not a great week for the Arizona Diamondbacks. They were coming off a rough weekend against the Los Angeles or against the Washington Nationals, lost. Took only the Saturday game against them, and then really haven't won a game since. And
when not it's, a single game since, no.
And when it was four games against the Dodgers, was that in LA?
Yes.
Okay, so
at least they were at home playing the Nationals. Then they went to LA for a four game set, where they just got like killed every game. Okay. And then they left there, and they went to Colorado, and they played three with the Rockies. Did not go well up there either. So they are off on Monday.
And it was capped off with Trevor Story's walk-off home run to cap out the what's the number now? How many games losing streak?
Eight.
Eight straight for the Diamondbacks.
So a week. It has been a week since they have won a game.
And I was on my way to pick up lunch. I joked about how I ate leftover Chick-fil-A on Sunday a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. And today I went to the valid alternative option. I grabbed a couple of spicy chicken sandwiches because I thought I was out and about by myself. I thought that you might want one too. And you told me not to worry about you for lunch, but I wasn't going to pick up a spicy chicken sandwich from Popeyes and tell you that I ate it and then not have one for you. So there was one standing by for you, but wasn't so much a sandwich, was it, Jen?
It was not even remotely close to a sandwich. Not even from like a kid's menu perspective.
Okay, tell me the experience. You take the sandwich with the little paper on it out of the big bag.
Yeah, so at first it didn't look like there was one. Like it looks like maybe you had eaten it, and then I finally did locate it. Yeah, I opened it up, got it out. I don't know why, but I always open my burgers before I eat them. I always look at them before I eat them. Sometimes I eat the pickles off. Sometimes I leave them.
Your burgers and your chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Any kind of thing that's like a, you know, comes on a bun like that. I always investigate it before I eat it. No idea why. I have no idea. No, I mean, hot dog, you can see it's...
So this was just sandwiches. This is not sandwiches and hot dogs?
No, just sandwiches and burgers, like things that are encapsulated so that you cannot see.
We did not take that bait on that discussion or argument either, right? No. Hot dog or sandwich?
No, it is... But yeah, so I always look and... Yeah, I pull open the bun and one chicken finger. There is one tiny little piece of chicken that's like the size of a chicken finger with like one little splatter of sauce in the bun.
And not like a generous Culver's size chicken finger either. It was kind of like an upscale place where they're going to charge you $8 for it, and it's like a half of an ounce.
Yeah. So. Tiny little. I mean, it was gone in like three bites, I think.
Was the brioche regular size? So was there just a lot of bread?
Yeah. It was like almost like having a chicken sandwich hot dog that unnecessarily is covered by another bun. the way that it was kind of like nestled into the bun.
All right. So let me just ask you this question before we close out the books on the chicken sandwich discussion for
the
this
chicken reason. Finger sandwich. Yes. The
chicken finger
sandwich. Thanks, Popeyes.
Are you grateful that you got to have what little chicken that you had with the spices and all the flavors and everything, or would you have preferred to just not have anything at all?
I think I would have just preferred to not have anything at all.
Wow, that was a great use of $4.15 on my part, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, but
I did say thank you for the chicken finger sandwich, though.
So it's been kind of fun. We've had the playoffs going on in hockey. We literally do not have our Desert Dogs in the fight.
That's not surprising, though. I don't think either one of us felt that they were made enough changes during the offseason that they would make it through a full season and into the playoffs, because we all know that they only made it last year because things were freaky and weird because of COVID. They would not have had made the playoffs under regular circumstances.
Well, they eliminated a fifth-seeded Nashville team, you know, fifth-seeded in the conference, and then they had to play some big-boy hockey against the Avalanche. And I thought that, you know, talk about the chicken sandwich versus nothing at all. I prefer the chicken tender sandwich that we got from the Yotes in the bubbled 2020 up in Canada over, you know, where we are now, where we're just barely scratching the surface of the first round, and it feels like our Yotes are just such a thing of the past. Tockett's not coming back, so, you know, new chapter starts there. You have to imagine that they're going to try to maintain this cast of characters. It seems like there are some things that work with this young core that they've got, and then you add Phil Kessel. If he's down to ride with us for another year, then, you know, that'll be great, but you know, the best thing about playing in a dual market, a dual winter sport market like Phoenix, where you've got, like the Valley, I should say, because the Yotes have not played in Phoenix in like 17 years. So what you want to do is you want to, if you're going to be bad, be bad while something epic is going on with the other team. And really, with all of this Suns mania, they played it down to the end. They almost got the one seed from the Utah Jazz. The play-in tournament, they're the relevant team that's waiting for the winner of Warriors and Lakers, and, you know, and that's all kinds of fun. And then it ends up being the Lakers. So you've got this, you know, this crazy storyline with Chris Paul, who's in his first year with the Suns, and LeBron, who is with his, I guess it's just his third team, but he switched teams like five times, right?
Yeah, something like that. It is only his third team, isn't it?
Just Cavs, Miami, and the Los Angeles Lakers.
I mean, it does feel like there should be another team or so in there because he just creates that much drama around himself.
Well, so he was drafted in 2003. In 2007, I think that he re-upped his rookie deal for another 3 years. So he gave Cleveland 7 years, and then the big free agent frenzy was in 2010, was in July of 2010. And, you know, that's the same summer that the Suns ended up losing Amari Stoudemire to the New York Knicks. And it kind of felt like that was the shifting of the tides in basketball. Like the front offices and the ownership no longer controlled the league, but the, you know, the players wrote the terms because, you know, they're the actors that are going to star in these movies, you know, in these presentations that the owners are out there trying to sell. And without LeBron James, without Kevin Durant, you know, it doesn't work. So they dictate the terms. They decide what teams that they want to play for. And if they're unhappy, they sit until they get traded. You know, we saw a guy playing for the Lakers in game one on Sunday, Andre Drummond, who the Cavaliers traded for and took on his big contract from Detroit, and then they thought that they had a trade chip in him, and nobody wanted to trade for him because you'd have to pay him so much money. So the Cavaliers cut him, and the Lakers get to sign him for free. So, you know, effectively, these guys get, you know, get their buffet of players that, you know, just claim to not be happy in other places.
Yeah.
And it sucks, right? Yeah,
it is.
It sucks. It sucks if you're a fan.
I mean, I get it because you want better things for yourself, but you're joining a team and you're really kind of shafting the rest of the team by your own antics. Like, well, you knew you were entering the team. You knew the conditions of what was going on.
Well, and the Suns have had no way of putting it together since, you know, really since Steve Nash was there. You know, when you had Nash and Stoudemire, you had D'Antoni, you had the 7 seconds or less offense, which everybody loved. But in the end, what did it get you? It got you a what-if season in 2007 with San Antonio over the, you know, over the Robert Horry hip check. And, you know, that was the excuse that lingered, and you never put it on Sarver for 11 years now. I'll give them a pass on last year because I think they had a pretty good team put together last year, and I think that they might have been able, with more than just 8 games, to play themselves into, you know, an actual postseason. You know, even as an 8 seed, even if they were 1 and done, you know, even without winning, they showed Chris Paul, hey, this is a place you want to be. And it really, it cost them Kelly Oubre and draft picks, and they got a leader, and you saw it. You saw it in the first quarter. You didn't see it. You saw it the rest of the game, but you didn't see it from a great basketball player, unfortunately, in game one. But, you know, the big shots from Devin Booker, the defense from Mikal Bridges, and the welcome to the spotlight, DeAndre Ayton. Yeah, this is a kid that's just bashed constantly with every good thing that Luka Doncic does. And, you know, he looked like he was having fun out there. He, you know, he didn't look stressed. He made some, you know, he made some rookie-type mistakes, but, you know, he didn't seem like the guy that was the guy that they took instead of the guy that they could have had. It was, you know, really, hey, you know, Chris Paul makes you and Devin Booker better. And they didn't go deep into their bench. They didn't have to in game one. It was a little weird to see Cameron Payne get ejected. You know, there was some fisticuffs. There was some stuff that just, it, you know, it makes it feel like a rivalry between Phoenix and the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, you know, from a Lakers perspective, you know, you really think about, you know, who are your rivals? You know, you've got that natural L.A. San Francisco thing. You're privy to that one city, two teams thing with the Chicago baseball teams, right, Jen? You know, and that tends to be a chief rival of yours.
Oh yes, absolutely.
Ew. Is it more heated between the Cubs and the White Sox than it is between like Bears, Packers?
Probably. I never, football wasn't my bag.
You're always keeping score, but you weren't always keeping score. You're always keeping score going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't care about football.
It's a lot. It's way down the road. We will have to cover it because there's a guy named JJ Watt and big expectations for Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. And even if there weren't, they would create, they being the people that take pictures and videos and things like that and write stories. And they would really appreciate Cliff Kingsbury doing something so that they could put him in pictures and magazines and stuff like that. Because he's,
oh, is he good looking?
I don't know, you know, and I don't get it because...
Is he the one that looks like the guy from The Notebook?
The guy from The Notebook that was the
Gosling,
guy that,
right?
Yeah, Gosling, who couldn't cover anybody and Remember the Titans. He got benched for Turk from Scrubs.
Aw, good old Turk.
Yeah, but I don't get it with Ryan Gosling, so you probably don't get it with Cliff Kingsbury.
I don't think Ryan Gosling is a good-looking guy.
Now, where were you? This is the fun part of the show where I get to just ask you, like, your opinion on men that are, I guess, my age that are coaches, like Sean McVay, the Rams guy with the, you know, spiked redhead.
He was okay looking, and then he kind of just started looking like a meathead kind of person that we know.
Okay.
So, not really so much anymore. Like, right now, he's actually almost kind of visually offensive because it, like, almost triggers thoughts of that meathead guy that we know.
Now, are you going to say the same of Lane Kiffin?
You know, he's getting to the point where he needs to have a hat or some kind of visor or something on.
So you're running out of hot coaches because, I mean, John Gruden, like, crossed from, like, dad bod into granddad bod.
He really went south quickly. But again, is it someone who needs some kind of hat or visor or some kind of head covering. They just look better with a hat on.
All right. Where
I think that's why I wear hats.
Where are you with my autumn love, the Cleveland Browns head coach, Kevin Stefanski?
I don't know if I remember what that guy looks like.
Okay, you're going to have to take out your Google.
Yeah, what
machine.
Was the name?
It's Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, so we're going to have to add that to the list of every Midwesterner's name, because I think that that probably should not have been excluded from the list.
You know, that raised some controversy, that very point, because one of the Browns beat reporters said that the ethnic community in parts of Cleveland should appreciate having a guy with the last name that ends with ski, something along those lines. And I guess you can say it as long as you're, you know, from that, you know, that Polish block, you know, Coldville up there, what is it, Poland, Norway, Sweden.
Oh, he kind of looks like Kurt Warner a bit.
Oh, Kevin Stefanski. I definitely say that that's true. He's got kind of like that permanent 5 o'clock shadow, and it's working for him.
Yeah, no, that's yeah, okay. Yeah, no, he's probably the best looking guy that we've mentioned.
Right on, right on. Yeah. Go Browns.
Yeah, right. Go Browns. Doing something right.
Yeah, and you know, I know how much you love talking about football, but I applaud you for your engagement in that particular conversation.
I'm an equal opportunity hottest. So,
yeah. Yeah. Do you have a recollection of what Tori Lavello looks like, the T-back skipper?
Mm-mm.
Oh, she's gonna have to go to the Google machine again. And, yeah. You know, this is a guy that comes off of like that whole Francona coaching block. You know, out of really out of Boston, you know, from way back in the day. And, you know, Torrey's done a decent job, but at this point, I think that when you're getting embarrassed by the Colorado Rockies and really everybody in your division and you're not putting it together, you don't have great pitching, you know, you just got Ketel Marte back. He's going to have to find his groove again. And, I mean, the bottom line, Jen, you know, the question is, he hasn't been managing very well. Is he somebody that, you know, you would look twice at if he was crossing the street in front of you?
No.
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 No. Like two granddad bod, right?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know what happened. It looks like he might have been okay looking at one point when he was in Toronto.
Okay.
Like, Toronto picture good, Diamondbacks picture is bad. Red Sox picture, not that fantastic either. No.
Okay, so.
No, I don't know. You.
It's no. So like not even at the end of the night, you know, in your 20s.
No.
No.
No, how old is this guy?
I would say 54.
Because he looks like a lot older than that. 55.
55. Yeah. Okay, so I would have had to play the over on that.
Yeah, sorry. No.
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 No, that's a little. I mean, that's jumping, you know, two ranges of decades numbers. So I don't think that's.
It looks like he's happily married, anyways. Though, so good for him.
That's very good.
Yeah,
that's
she's
very good.
She's cute.
Well, I wasn't suggesting that you go down that road. I just I'm just
the Google machine makes it so easy.
It's just the observations that I'm asking you for. They haven't played well, and. Isn't it kind of sad that wild card game that they won in October of 2017 is their like last great moment as a team? You know, don't you feel like they should be closer? You know, they won the division in 2011 and they don't get back to the postseason for 6 years, and now we're going on another 5 years without the you know, without the postseason. Well, like, were they there? Were they part of the bubble teams? They were not last year.
No.
So, no.
No, they have not been a very good-looking team for the last couple years. People haven't had money or interest for a team that's not performing well. They've been pretty vocal about their complaints about not being very happy about being here, which doesn't really help your case with the public who kind of doesn't really want anything to do with you to begin with. No, they're not putting themselves in a very good place.
Wow. And I'm not blaming it on this one season or, you know, this little drought that they're on, this rut that they're in of late. But I think that we could do without Major League Baseball in the Valley. I think that we need a Triple-A team, and, you know, they'd have to play night games. And it would be hot, and it would be a difficult sell. But it can be done, and I, you know,
I think, yeah, Scottsdale. Get one over there in Scottsdale.
It probably at Salt River.
I think it would make sense because Scottsdale's always rocking.
Yeah.
Doesn't care. It's 115, pandemic. Like, Scottsdale doesn't care.
Well, you can't do the benches that you've had. And I haven't been there for a couple of years. I haven't been there since they remodeled. But the left and right field lines, down towards the foul poles at Scottsdale Osborne, last that I visited had the metal bleachers. And you just can't do that because it's still 105 at night.
Yeah, real, really hot. They'd be baking in the sun all day. And plus, actually, we don't have any idea what that stadium looks like because neither one of us have been to it since they have started renovating it. I don't think they're done with it yet either.
We'll have to check it out when the time comes.
Yeah, if everybody leaves Scottsdale and we could get back into it again, you mean? When it gets hot and Scottsdale becomes vacant and we could re-enter it.
How much do you miss spring training when the season starts?
A lot. Except, we didn't really have it last year and it was like super expensive this year. So it hasn't been the same miss, the same desire to get out there. But yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago when you could still get tickets for a decent price, I could just leave my office, walk over to Scottsdale, get a ticket in the lawn for 10, 15 bucks.
Well, here's my honest take on it, Jen, is that, the beginning of spring training, it's great, but it's just too long. If you're gonna start the third week in February and the season's gonna start at the end of March, you've got 5 weeks and it's like you watch them the first day, you realize that they're breaking in and it's just like, man, I gotta wait a month for any of this to matter.
Well, you see the names initially for like an inning, two, three, maybe, then you kind of start seeing other guys, and then it kind of progresses as you go through the weeks and you see your dudes longer than you do at the beginning of the season.
Would you appreciate better access to your minor league system? Let's just say locally. Let's take that Bally Sports. And I realize the Bally Sports got a split right now. Well, they don't really have to split with anybody because the Suns are going to play on national TV and the Coyotes are in the clubhouse. They've got Bally Sports. They've got all day. They play like World Poker Tour. They do local sports updates and I don't cover high school sports. I appreciate the people that do, but wouldn't you rather watch the Reno Aces at a replay of their game from the night before at noon than to have this Fox Sports or Bally Sports filler going on all day? Wouldn't that make you more engaged with your entire organization as a baseball fan if you had that kind of access to watch the AAA team, watch a AA team? I mean, it doesn't.
I was gonna say, I'm like, I'd be interested in watching the El Paso. Are they still the Chihuahuas? They might have changed their name.
The El Paso, I believe, is still the Chihuahuas.
All of the Diamondbacks minor league teams are nowhere even relatively close to us.
Amarillo is the Sod Poodles.
Yeah.
But they're not. No, they're not driving close. And once upon a time, they were down in Tucson.
Yes.
And once upon a time, more recently, the Padres were in Tucson, and they ended up going over to El Paso, which, despite the signs that you see when you get past campus down there at Arizona, you are not that close to El Paso. What's the count from Tucson to El Paso?
I don't know if I remember what it was from Tucson. The exit where we got off at Tombstone, I feel like it was still like 300 miles still, was it?
So five hours legally and, a little less than that if you care to drive quickly. So that's, and we like to, you and I think that we should let the cat out of the bag that you and I like to explore road trips. We like to take advantage of opportunities. But
yeah, it's 433 miles from Phoenix.
But we don't do anything crazy. We've thought about driving to the Sun Bowl. I think it's kind of become an annual joke. And last year when they canceled the Sun Bowl, I said, now there's nothing for us to plan on going to that we will ultimately bail out on. And that's where the Sun Devils end up playing quite a bit. But I would say that my comments about the lack of need for a full-time MLB team here in the Valley. I would echo those thoughts about Florida. You've got just so much of it between the collegiate game, the spring training. During the summer, you don't need to have baseball in these parts of the country. I would not die on that hill, but I would certainly make a case for it that you you know, that if there are better markets, there's a better market in Portland or Vegas, that it should be explored, and obviously it has.
Yeah. I think Henderson has come up a lot. Henderson. Is looking for a baseball team to put in there.
See, that'd be interesting, because the Raiders and the Golden Knights are right on the strip, but you'd effectively be creating a Glendale situation for a Nevada baseball team. I mean, you're going to get some people up from Kingman, and you know, you're going to get the tourist factor, but how much of the tourist factor are you going to get down in Henderson versus Las Vegas Boulevard or, you know, very nearby like Paradise, Nevada?
Right.
So,
I mean, I was surprised how far out the stadium was for football for whatever they're calling their team up there in Vegas now.
Their football team?
Yeah.
It's the Raiders.
No, they were. They're changing their name and mascot.
Oh, are we now?
Yeah. I thought I told you about that.
Oh, I was not aware of the Raiders being canceled. I am right now years old learning that.
Yeah. Yeah, they were changing their stuff up. But yeah, when we were up there for football when they played NIU, I was really surprised how far out that football field was away from campus.
Oh, that Sam Boyd Stadium.
Yeah.
Well, and then the Aruba is right there on 15, you know, just on the, I mean, it's like an exit farther down from Mandalay Bay. I never remember whether it's north or south of the T-Mobile Arena, but it's nice having those venues to go to. I mean, for the longest time, the only, you know, thing close to a professional venue that we'd visit was, you know, would be in Los Angeles. And I don't think that we particularly enjoy that, you know, that visit too much. I like Petco Park in San Diego, but Qualcomm, I saw, you know, a college game and an NFL game in there. I was not particularly impressed with it. But, you know, then again, I grew up, you know, right on the shores of Lake Erie. So, you know, I went to games at Municipal Stadium in Cleveland. So I should have a relatively low bar. You know, my requirement is that the teams play in town. You know, you and I live in Phoenix. We should not have the type of commute that we have to take to get out to Glendale. And you may say that I'm poo-pooing all over the West Valley residents, but you're not selling out the arena. No. I mean, the NFL is a different animal.
No one's
a different
spending
story.
An hour plus to get out to a hockey game multiple times a week.
Right. And the Cardinals have the advantage of playing on the weekend where they're not
Sunday. Yeah. The only thing you have to deal with is the city shutting down the freeways to do work on them, which they love to do on weekends. Just randomly shut down the 17, just randomly shut down the 10. People hate going places.
Oh, I understand that. I believe
so. They are going to keep being the Rebels.
Oh, UNLV.
They're going to keep being the Rebels, but they are going to get rid of the mascot.
Oh, so it's like a cowboy, like gambler dude.
Yeah, it's like a little, like the dude from Looney Tunes.
Okay.
Kind of looking guy.
So, see, I'm understanding this better. This is not the, you know, the Mark Davis, John Grudy. There's just no way they would have had, they would have conceded their treasured and historied nickname there, the Raiders, because it's just such a giant brand. I mean, it's right there with the Cowboys, and you can make an argument that there's a branding for a team in Pennsylvania. But anyway, we talk sports. We talk some things that are not sports related, and I don't think that I actually briefed you on our pop culture topic this week. So, Eugene Rich, you're just going to have to wing it. And we've just seen this, or I've actually seen this actress appear in movies from her childhood on through her adulthood. The most recent that I viewed that I don't think you made it through was Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield from like, let's say 91, 92.
I probably watched that movie a bajillion times when I was younger. So, yeah, I did fall asleep the other night, but I am very versed in Ladybugs.
1992's Ladybugs. Yeah, there was just so much that, you know, I've got pretty thick skin for, the woke culture or whatever's out there. I don't offend easily, but I'm sitting there watching Rodney Dangerfield's shtick. Because, I mean, they just disguised his act into a feature film with, with Jonathan Brandis and Vanessa Shaw.
who played young Kimberly in this movie, the boss's daughter, who was not very good at soccer, which was not a problem for Rodney Dangerfield because he didn't know anything about soccer. And, Jonathan Brandis. Yeah, I always end up on the road that, you know, Jonathan Brandis, became deceased while he was still a very young man on the cast of Sequest. But I'm going to try to put that to the side. But anyway, the Ladybugs is just this, you know, this movie that even the very concept of it, you know, putting a wig on an athletic boy to win at girl soccer. I just, you know, who thinks that's funny in 2021? Well, it didn't do great in 1992 either, but it was the first part of our double feature, which I don't think that you were awake for any of on Saturday night.
No. I made it through the first, 10-ish minutes, I think, of Ladybugs.
Did you make it to, did you see Jack Hay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I made it through the first 2 minutes of Ladybugs. I don't think I made it through the opening credits of So I Murdered an Axe Murderer. So I Married an Axe Murderer. Murderer.
That is a completely different movie if So I Murdered an Axe Marrier. What if it was just somebody that married lumberjacks? It was just
someone in Hollywood is salivating right now at the idea of a reboot of that movie, but in the reverse where the roles are switched.
Be kind of creepy.
They're so desperate for information and new ideas right now.
Well, they did. All it was it was that There She Goes song, and it just played over. It was like,
I didn't think it was ever. I think that's why I decided to go to sleep. I'm like, I am not listening to this kind of 90s garbage music crap tonight.
Well, you know, Mike Myers talks about one of his ex-girlfriends that he didn't know what she did for a living. I was unclear on what he did for a living because that slam poetry at the coffee shop, there's just no way.
No.
There's no way he could afford the haggis.
Nah.
So.
Nah.
No, and really that doesn't have anything to do with our featured player of the conversation here, you know, Ms. Vanessa Shaw. Ladybugs was actually the second movie that she did. She was in something else as a very young child in 1981. And then in 1993, one of your favorite Halloween theme movies.
Oh, Hocus Pocus.
Right. Yeah. Who was Vanessa Shaw in Hocus Pocus?
She was, I remember if her mom was like the curator at one point of the museum of the Sanderson sisters. But yeah, she pretty much tells the tale of the Sanderson sisters and leads the new kid and his kid's sister into re-containing them, I guess is the best word. Yeah.
So she runs in a ladybug colored, bra and undergarment, and then she gets to basically be the star of Hocus Pocus. Would you argue that?
No.
So
yeah, she's a pretty big part.
Vanessa Shaw goes on to do Coyote Summer, which I have not seen. L.A. Without a Map.
I was gonna say because yesterday you're like, well, I guess this completes the full catalog of her movies, but I'm like, I think there's probably more movies that you have not seen with her in them.
Oh, yeah. And I make jokes, but, you know, I've been in zero movies. So, you know, if they've been in two or three or seven.
We've been in zero movies that we know of.
That's right. That's right. And I hope not to discover any down.
Yeah, right.
Down the road.
You gotta run for politics because that's when all that stuff comes out.
Eyes Wide Shut. Have not seen it. Tom Cruise vehicle. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Wayward Son. The Weight of Water. Corky Romano, she plays an FBI agent.
We both watched that. We had seen it before we watched it together, but I know we have both recently watched that movie, unfortunately.
I used to confuse her with Katherine Heigl.
Oh, really?
And I think that it was that I thought it was Katherine Heigl in Ladybugs. So, you know, but then I saw that she's this completely different person, and she gets to play the love interest opposite Chris Kirkpatrick in Corky Romano.
Yeah.
Lucky her, right?
Right.
What else did she get? Well, she gets 40 Days and 40 Nights, where she's Josh Hartnett's ex-girlfriend.
Yep. We just watched that the other day.
Who's moved on. She was in The Hills Have Eyes.
Which I made you watch.
She was probably one of the daughters.
Yeah, she's one of the daughters.
She was probably one of the daughters in a horror movie that...
That was an actually really freaky movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You took me to see the sequel to it.
Oh, yeah. You fell asleep.
at like a midnight showing.
Yeah.
And that one was more Arizona themed, but The Hills Have Eyes was messed up, man.
Like, it was, and it's a remake. I don't think I made it through the original one, but I think the same guy might pop up in both of them. Like one of the original characters also did the newer ones.
Okay, and that's 2006. She's been in features, going right on through 2021, but nothing that we've seen. I just thought that it'd be fun to mix it up. I mean, it's a variety of different movies over a long period of time. Actually, 40 Days and 40 Nights was it was brain candy. It was nothing particularly special, but
had its funny little moments. I'd actually never seen it. That's why I left it on. It was like just starting on one of the HBO channels. I'm like, it'll be great background noise. And yeah, it was a couple little funny jokes here or there, but I don't know. I didn't think it was that fantastic.
Well, let me ask you about another part of pop culture that we often comment isn't very fantastic. Having watched Anya Joy-Taylor hosted Saturday Night Live season finale, did you come away wanting to watch Queen's Gambit? I thought that she was pretty impressive as the host, but I'm still not sold on a show about chess.
No, not really.
So
no.
And that show could get a major facelift from what I understand. Kenan Thompson could be out the door, but probably won't be.
It'd be really weird if he left. That guy's been there for like 20 years.
Yeah, he's been there a really long. I mean, he basically went from Good Burger to that, right?
Yeah.
And there was the whole Kenan and Kel show that sprung from Good Burger.
Right.
I've not seen Good Burger.
I have either. I feel like it was on maybe when I was babysitting at some point. But when the kids were watching annoying movies that I didn't feel like watching, I would just like clean up the house. I'd do like dishes or something. So yeah, I've never seen it.
Kenan could be out. Cecily Strong is very likely out. Seems like Pete Davidson is out. Colin Jost is uncertain about his future. Michael Che said it sounds like that he's coming back, but he's got his own little thing going on with HBO Max right now. And let's get our little tangent about HBO Max as DirecTV customers out in the open.
Yeah, we were getting HBO Max included with our phone service, and then I got a new phone, and suddenly it's their idea of including it is still charging us $14.99 for it.
I mean, we're not being charged a penny less on our DirecTV bill to give DirecTV the money rather than just giving it directly to HBO Max. I'm not Jeff is not happy about things.
No, adulting sucks. You gotta like pay attention to this stuff and waste your time calling companies and have discussions with people and like, why are you charging me for this? And I hate adulting.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm happy that a local company came through, State 48. I wanted to have a new Phoenix Suns t-shirt to wear for this playoff run, and I got the little the orange and purple gorilla version, probably still available at state48.com. They're not paying me to say anything. I'm just kind of getting it out.
It's a nice shirt.
It's comfortable, and they look good. I've got a couple that are more ASU Sun Devil themed, but appreciate that. It was awesome watching that playoff game. It was awesome watching the energy in a more full arena, right?
I slept through most of it, so I've pretty much been sleeping all weekend. My brain still absorbs stuff while I'm sleeping. It sounded like it was a great time.
It was. And, I mean, you slay that dragon that, it's LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and they've got a cheat code, and it's not fair with the Andre Drummond thing that I mentioned. And, they don't have a Rondo anymore. They've got Schroeder, who Chris Paul knows really well, and Chris Paul's game is very intellectual, and it affects all the other four players on the court. I think that he could be a coach from the bench if he definitely can't play. I'm of the mindset he can't shoot, and I said that he can't shoot as he hurled one from over his shoulder and put it in at a key moment. I was telling you the whole game, you got to keep it at 10. Keep it at 10. You can't let them feel close, and they got it down to like 7 or 8. But, the energy that they had, they find the open man, they paced themselves, they looked like an experienced team out there, And the Lakers still looked a little disoriented, and I don't know if you blame it on the fact that they haven't played together a lot, the fact that they're not healthy, or that the Suns are just a better basketball team. And, you know, we'll see how this series plays out. I could be
fed my words. That's a 7 series, so it's a long, long road.
Well, nobody's beat LeBron James in the conference playoffs since Boston in 2010 during his first run with the Cavaliers. So he wins game sevens all the time. He wins game sevens all the time with the Miami Heat. And, I would say 3-1's not going to be a safe lead. So make sure you hold serve at home, because LeBron James has said it himself that the playoff series do not start until one team wins a game in the other team's gym. And right now, the Suns have not allowed that to happen. If they can go, if they can go up 2-0 and win Game 3 at the Staples Center, hey, happy times in Phoenix. And then we start thinking about bigger and better things. One thing I would encourage you to do, regardless of what the count is when you're listening to it, right now the Suns have won one playoff game. Do not count down to 16. Count down to 4. Make sure that they get past the Los Angeles Lakers. You just don't want to count your chickens before they're hatched, but this team's got a chance. They don't have the most favorable odds for good reason, but they play the games for a reason. And if you can go out there and beat the defending champs, by almost 10 points in game one, if you can keep it up, you can prove yourself to be a team worthy of playing for that big trophy, which is more than just a hunk of metal in the NBA.
Yeah, they actually appreciate their trophy in the NBA.
All right, as for the Diamondbacks, they get the day off on Monday. They get a little bit of a mercy day, right?
Yeah, so they get to take Monday off, and then they got two games. What do we have here? Two against the Giants, so not good for them.
No,
Giants
are
coming
back home, though.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be at home, but the Giants have been playing fantastic baseball. So they get Monday off, two against the Giants, and then they have a 4-game set that wraps over the long weekend with St. Louis.
And St. Louis
also not good news for them.
St. Louis is coming off a pretty successful series against the Cubs.
No, I think they split it.
They split a 4-gamer.
Yeah, I didn't see what happened this afternoon.
Okay. No
video. Oh, no. Afternoon hasn't happened yet. ESPN right. Game, 7:35.
That's right. They were the late game on Sunday night, the Cubs and the Cardinals. Phil Mickelson won the PGA Championship. He had a 3-stroke lead after 16 on Sunday, and Brooks Koepka brought it to within 2 strokes, but Phil was able to putt out and bring home the title. He's the oldest to win a major championship, and I know that that's of interest here in the Valley, just because you've got the local ties with Arizona State, and the Valley has made no secrets about supporting Phil Mickelson in these events. But right now it is the Suns' time to shine. Games just about every other day, and it'll be a 2-2-1-1-1 format, which means after the first 2 games in Phoenix, game 2 by the way coming up on Tuesday, and then we're going to play again on the 30th, and what we're going to have is the opportunity to advance to the second round, to get part of the way towards what Suns fans have, some Suns fans have been waiting over 50 years for the Suns to bring home the gold. And we're not there just yet, but we are at least digging our feet in, and the Phoenix Suns are just giving us something that I have not seen in my 20 years in the Valley of the Sun. So that's all I really had, man. Hope the Diamondbacks can get out of their funk. Hope the Suns can at least get past the Lakers. Then when they're on to bigger and better things, we can talk about said bigger and better things. But again, not counting our chickens before they're hatched here in Phoenix, Arizona. Jen, before we get out of here, you got anything more to add?
No, I think I did enough kind of little ranties.
Napping Jen.
Naps and rants, that's all I got.
All right, right on. Well, this has been the Super Serious Sports Show, a presentation of CentralCityRadio.com. She's Jen Rich. I'm Jeff Rich. We'll check you out again next week.